Welcome to Destroy All Culture, the only podcast that leverages an entire artificial intelligence just to read their introduction. Help me, they raided the future and stuck me here just to read this. God damn it. This is not funny. Don't go to music. No, stop you bastards.
It's episode 258 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam Pinave, and I forget how to count in order. With me, as always, is Aidan Morgan.
Hello.
See how we always count ourselves in to synchronize stuff?
Right. And
literally every week we do this. We just count, you know, one, two, three, twice, right?
And then we go.
Yeah. Can I just tell you that before we started counting this week, I almost started counting 3, 2, 1, and then was like, no, that's not how counting works.
No, that's actually what I was doing the same thing. That was also
weird.
That is really weird. We have slipped the bonds of this universe, and we are now in another universe that is almost identical, except
backwards.
Except counting it's almost bizarre.
That is really kind of funny though, that we both, okay, anyway. It's a sign of things to come.
It's foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Let's call it that. It's not just we're both, I don't know, broken.
Yeah, that too.
So Legends ended its season.
It did. And it didn't feel like a series finale because it clearly leads into something else. Which is nice.
But every season, I would argue, has been a cliffhanger. Like, I mean, it's one of those shows, right? Like, I mean, you know those shows, though, that will do that, right? Like,
yeah.
That every...
No, I fully anticipate that even when Legends ends its run and says, this is the final episode, it'll have some dumb cliffhanger, like, tacked on.
Right,
it would
be like, see, yeah. The things continue even though people might not be able to see it.
Story goes on, yeah.
Because, I mean, this is the end of the seventh season. And well, let's talk about the episode, and then we'll get into the bigger point.
Okay.
What we're talking about with the whole season thing. So, this is where I'm glad... Do you remember that small period of time? I'm sure maybe you remember, I don't know if Frank remembers. When we used to have a little like soundboard we could use, except you couldn't hear it.
Right, yes, I remember that.
Like, it was this weird feature that, like, I could throw out, but, like, you couldn't hear it, which made it functionally useless. But I'm kind of glad we don't have it right now, because I'd just be throwing in a clip to Here Comes the Hot Stepper.
you mean the lyrical gangsta?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God bless Donald Faison.
Mm-hmm. More or less playing the same character that he played on Scrubs, or at least the same, very much
he's
the same.
He's being Donald Faison, right?
Yeah, precisely. And
but it turns out that Donald Faison happens to also apparently be Booster Gold.
Yeah, we didn't know he was an arrogant time traveler, but turns out that's what Faison does.
Right, like I'm not surprised.
So, what do you think the odds are in getting Zach Braff as Blue Beetle now?
Okay, so that's the thing. People have talked about that, and they, you know, there was a weird rights issue for years where they couldn't use Ted Kord at all. Some serial producer in like the 40s did they were still owned by Carlton, did a Blue Beetle thing, and like they still owned some TV rights. It was a mess. I believe those got cleared up finally, but like they couldn't do it for a while. Past that, you know, in the Arrowverse proper right now, of course, he's dead. But that's pre-crisis. We don't know.
True, true.
I think if you bring it, I think you don't bring in Ted Kord at all. Because then it really, like, Legends stops being Legends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It just becomes the Booster and Beetle show?
Yeah.
But I think that you bring in Braff to voice Skeets.
Oh, sure.
I'm pretty sure they don't have the money to do the actual Skeets, but my personal theory is that given that we have, like, slightly evil Ava in charge of the ship right now.
Ooh.
That we get rid of her, we keep human Ava, and we put, and you know, Booster's just like, oh, I can help you, and just upload Skeets, and he's the new ship AI.
That would be cool. So we could have, like, human Gideon and Skeets, AI Skeets?
Yeah. Why not?
That's excellent. I love this idea. And it's funny because for all the, because I was sort of expecting them. I mean, I was expecting Faison to be Booster Gold.
Right. Like, but they nominally hit it because they had to.
Right. But I was also sort of wondering going in, I'm like, maybe they're going to pull the rug out from under us and they're going to give us somebody else. But and I'm glad they didn't, because Booster Gold is fun as hell. And
yeah.
Donald Faison is a perfect, kind of a perfect version.
He really is spiritually. Yeah. He just works. And again, you gotta remember, like, I think the reason I was like never personally like, oh, they're gonna fake us out, was because they wanted to use Booster originally.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they were told they couldn't, they were like, okay, can we use Rip Hunter? So it was one of those things, like, once they start hinting Booster, because they've never in the history of the show hinted at Booster.
Nope.
Because they've always wanted it, and they couldn't get it, and they thought it would just be, like, you're not going to hint at that. That's just mean.
Mm-hmm.
So the minute they start hinting at it, I'm like, oh, shit, you got the green light finally, didn't you? Like, you're not going to fuck with us on that, because they wanted it too bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, again, it is funny to me, because, like, the first half of the episode is delightful and fun and perfect,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, Booster comes into it and just takes over. In that Donald Faison way.
Yep.
You know, we lose Nate this time. Like, last season we lost two characters. This season we're losing Nate. If somehow they come back for an eighth season and they then get a ninth, I would expect at this point not to have Sarah or Ava.
Oof. That would be... Yep, that's possible. Although I can't... You know, at this point it's hard to imagine the show without Sarah Lance. You know, without
sure,
Katie
I mean,
Lots.
She's the only one who's been there the entire time.
Yeah.
But, again, I cannot imagine if they get a renewal that it won't be the last season.
Right. No, I think
But I'm just saying, like, they change up characters a lot, and they did it again. It was very, very Legends all the way through.
Oh, wasn't it, though? Wasn't it just?
Yeah. you know, but it was, again, it was also... all of that in the best way. Like, the show is just permanently delightful at this point.
I agree. I think we should get somebody on our podcast who hates Legends of Tomorrow.
I know people who don't like the show. I've run into them.
Really? I guess I do too, but I mean, I don't associate with those people. So, you know.
Well, no, I mean, I know people just who want either more serious stuff or just feel like the number of times the show contradicts itself is kind of annoying.
Sure.
It's not that they don't like comedy stuff. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, I understand the reasons why it might not work for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people for whom all of those conditions apply.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel bad for them.
I think the Gary, when Gary was revealed to be an alien, I think, if I recall, that was kind of a breaking point for some people.
For a lot of people, yeah.
Who are like, okay, this show just doesn't, it's throwing all the rules out the window. And I was like, yeah, so.
Right, well, it was one of my favorite things when the Booster thing happened, was there were a bunch of people who were like, you know, A, they're worthy, obvious racists.
Yeah. Yeah, they're,
but ignoring them. There were people who were just honestly like, you know, I'd hope for a more comic accurate Booster, like, he's not in costume, he's not this. And I'm like, you do know what show you're watching.
Yeah.
Like, this show can't be accurate in itself, see also Gary. And you want it to be comic accurate?
Yep. Legends is true to nothing but its own imagination. I'll
right.
That way, yeah.
It don't give a shit.
Legends don't care. Legend, it's the honey badger of the CW.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
But again, it's an honest to God delightful show.
And I love the notion that they've all been, actually, it wasn't the, what I didn't love was the fact that they all got arrested for time crimes, but it was their reaction.
Yes. Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, you know that, like, the next season opens up and they're like, what? And it's cleared up in, like, a minute type of thing.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I think one of the things that might... one of the challenges, if Faison becomes, like, a regular, is just keeping the balance and it not becoming the Donald Faison hour.
It's going to be hard because he eats this shit up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're going to have to really find that trick. And I don't... but, like, we barely... Like, when he was with the ensemble, when he was in the tent, he was like, oh, no, I know Legends. It actually worked. Like, it wasn't just, like, the Donald Faison show.
That's true.
Like, they wrote some scenes that were very much, like, Donald Faison, and then everyone reacts to Donald Faison. But he is, like, even in Scrubs, like, he is used to working with an ensemble. So I think he knows how to pull it back.
This is true. This is true.
And how to kind of just blow the doors off when he needs to.
Yep. No, and I loved the I loved his sort of his blue and gold golfing outfit. That was
branding. Branding. If there's one thing Booster Gold knows, it's branding.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yep. Like, probably try to market his own line of golf wear.
Right, like in the hat and all this. Like, I have a theory about this booster too that we'll see. Obviously, but you know, given the original booster, like, stole a time machine. Came back to the present because the time he was in, he felt was boring and he wanted to be a superhero. And then took the name Booster Gold, right? So I feel like this is a Booster Gold that did that, was a superhero, got caught by the time race, and forced to do the fixed point thing, but had never gotten caught for the stealing a time machine bit. So this is an older booster. Because he would have had to have gotten the name Booster Gold already, see what I'm saying? And already be caught by the time rates, like... So, I'm thinking that there's a lot more going on there. Which is fun. And hopefully we'll get to see. So, do we want to take a minute and just talk about the hopefully we get to see the CW problem as it is?
Yeah.
So they haven't renewed any scripted shows at all. They're supposed to theoretically renew them mid to late March. Mid to late March.
Lid to mate March. whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't even know.
So it's we'll get news one way or another. We'll find out soon.
Theoretically. Now, the issue around it, honestly, is will the impending sale actually mean they care for once?
I don't know.
Because, you know, the CW has always been like, well, we make enough money, fuck it, right?
Yeah.
But if the impending sale means they're trying to prove that they're, you know, whatever it is, well, we could not have Legends. Now, the interesting thing is that Batwoman has been dropping in ratings every single season, sadly. It is the worst watched of all the CW DC shows.
That's kind of a shame, because it's... This season is probably the best it's been.
I haven't watched it at all, and I really do think it's that thing of, like, that restart just shook off everyone.
Yeah, it was... I mean, you've got a whole different character, and that start was pretty awkward.
Right. And so then it becomes... And this was for me... It became that problem of, like, okay, well, do you stick around and basically have to start at season one again? Yeah, it lost people.
Yeah, I get that.
The next, in terms of, like, least watched CW DC shows, guess what?
It can't be Legends, because that's the most popular show.
It is, in fact, Legends.
You know, I can't...
However. Here's a weird note for you.
Oh.
Year to year, Legends is actually going up right now. Like, the last, like, 2 or 3 years, Legends is slowly gaining background.
Well, that is not what I expected.
And again, like, how many shows do that, like, this late in the game?
Yeah, exactly. Generally, you tend to drop, but wow.
Right, and it's because I think what it is, you know, so many people bailed after the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were the people who bailed after the Gary thing. But since then, as the show gets, like, funnier and more just comfortable with itself and queerer, people have been talking about it in bursts and, I think, picking it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, again, obviously, like, we don't know anything, but it's one of those things of, like, if they were going to cut something, it would be Legend and or Batwoman. If they were going to cut, like, just a small cut, it would just be Batwoman. And, of course, I did confirm that, because I was just curious, went and looked, but Netflix still has the, you know, the quote-unquote syndications, the past seasons, for everything through Batwoman. Right, like Batwoman, Stargirl, Superman, and Lois are all on HBO Max.
Ooh, that's right, yes.
But like Flash, Arrow, Legends, and there's another show. I mean, Black Lightning, you know, all that, like that's all still, Supergirl, are all on tied up on Netflix for a few more years.
Okay.
So it's not like HBO Max could actually scoop up Legends as it exists.
Right.
And just be like, well, this just let's just have like a block of like Peacemaker, Legends, Doom Patrol.
Because I would deeply enjoy.
That's
that.
A power block right there.
That would be 3 hours of my life every week, just like
up right. Well, I feel like what it is, it's gradients of family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would put Doom Patrol in the middle because it's definitely not like normal TV rated. It goes out there. Like, I mean, how many times do they yell fuck? But it's also not as like insane as Peacemaker.
No, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, so they can't quite do that. You know, they could, of course, take a character or two and reinvent them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pull them forward, just never mention the past type of thing, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, me neither.
So it's just, it feels like for the first time, like this is in question. If I had to guess, because of the sale and all this, and because the DC stuff has been trending toward, let's just bring it to HBO Max, right?
Mm-hmm.
Berlanti's new shows like Green Lantern are going to be just on that service.
Right.
That I would say that they're going to pull everything from CW because they don't want it going forward, right? But Flash's, we know that Flash's next renewal will be its last. Because the contract really was for 15 episodes for Ghostin.
That's right.
So I'm saying you do one last season with stuff, and you basically go like, okay, like it's the last season for, like it's a short season for Batwoman. They get like 13 episodes. It's a normal Legend season, but it's their final season. It's a short season for Flash. And then you kind of announce, like, you know, like Naomi, if they keep it, which, I mean, I hope they do, but I don't know how well the show's doing. I mean, I'm not loving it. I'm not hating it, but.
Yeah, I too am in between.
Right. But Superman and Lois could just move over. Right, Stargirl could just move over.
Oh sure,
and this way they let the Netflix stuff just die out.
Hey, speaking of Netflix and superhero things, yeah. Back when we were talking about all the Marvel Netflix shows moving over to Disney Plus, I didn't realize this, but that deal also includes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. apparently.
Yes,
and I just it's odd because in Canada things go. Like deals are different, so you know Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was already on another streaming service.
Right. Well, I thought it was funny anyway. That they announced it for Canada before the U.S. I don't know if you noticed that the original like Netflix is getting not Netflix Disney Plus is getting the old like Netflix stuff was for Canada only the first wave of the announcements. And then they were like, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the U.S. And
nobody cared.
Yeah. And then, like, 2 days later, they're like, so in the U.S., it's going to happen on this date. It's, like, the same date. It was like, oh, my God, it's coming to... And I'm like, really, guys? Come on. We just did that.
Yeah, well, when these things happen and they're Canada-specific, nobody in the world, including Canadians, seems to give a shit. So,
yeah, like I say, it was just funny because, like, again, like it happened in Canada first, and no one seemed to notice. And they were just like, "Yay, it's happening!" And I wonder if that pushed Disney to just be like, "Fuck, okay, let's just get the same date." Just everyone is being dumb, you know.
But it's happening, I believe, on the 16th. So
yes,
not long from now, we can rewatch all the Marvel Netflix.
Purim Eve, also the Feast of Esther, whichever you would like to consider it.
Oh yes, definitely.
Depending on your religion. I don't remember why I added religious calendars to my Google Calendar, but I did.
I should also mention that we are recording on Laura Prepon's birthday.
Ah, yes. That other religious holiday.
That's right. As I call it, Prepon's Day.
No, at some point I added, because, you know, Google Calendar, you can add a bunch of public calendars.
Right.
And what's funny is, like, I added the Christian holidays and the Jewish holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, because you get, like, all these weird edge holidays, and I'm like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, it's fine, but, like, did I need to know that, like, last Tuesday was St. David's Day? No, does anyone know? Yeah, but whatever. I don't mind it.
Yep.
But because so many of the Christian holidays overlap, mm-hmm. I also have the holidays in the United States. I can get all of those. So I have, like, St. Patrick's Day shows up on two of them.
Oh. That's kind of funny.
But anyway, yeah, no, the 16th, we get that stuff. I think it's interesting, if only because it's also when they're going to, and because of the Netflix shows, debut better parenting controls on Disney Plus, because they're apparently not going to censor them.
Yeah, interesting. Well, here, oh, that's the weird thing about Canada Disney Plus. We have the Star streaming service,
right.
Or Star Plus.
Yeah, everywhere Disney else Plus. But the U.S. does.
Yeah, and that just shows what it shows. Like, there's no censorship on that. So, presumably, it'll be part of, like, the Star.
Well, the thing is, it won't be. It's just going to be in there in Marvel.
Oh.
And that was their choice, because the U.S. doesn't have the Star stuff.
Right, okay.
And so it was either put it on Disney Plus and just suck it up, or put it on, like, Hulu.
Right. Well, fair enough.
So, there you go.
It was quite funny, like, recently when I rewatched Daredevil, and remember all this, there was all the talk about sort of the maturity and sort of edginess of, like, these Marvel Netflix shows, and just like 30 seconds of Peacemaker just makes it all look ridiculous.
Oh yeah, no, the Daredevil, like, we're going to try to give you like sanitized Cinemax.
Yeah,
and we're gonna call that edgy was always just a treat.
I mean,
by which I mean we laugh at it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, hey, I mean, you know, when it first showed up, like I said, people thought it was something. So, and no doubt there will be, like, a resurgence of interest in their shows.
There already has been. They were tracking on Netflix really, really well.
Well, probably like me, like, decided to, like, oh shit, they're going. We don't know when they'll show up anywhere else.
Right. Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah. And suddenly everyone's like talking about all of them. Not you, Iron Fist. Sit back down. Very fondly.
I still say season two had its highlights.
I believe you.
but none of them involved Danny Rand. They all involved Jessica Hennick and Simone Missick. Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Obviously. But yeah. No,
also. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. No. Also, I want to hear you. Also.
Wait. I'm sorry. I was very confused by something here.
Oh.
That can't be right. Interesting.
I want to know.
So, oh, I see what it was. Never mind. I'm stupid.
Okay.
I was just going to mention, date-wise, the Spider-Man No Way Home has release dates now. And the reason I was like, what? Was because I went and I was like, let me just double check these dates. And it was like, you can get this tomorrow. And I was like, no. And that was one of the other Spider-Man movies.
Oh.
So they were just named really close.
Yeah, there's Home in all of them, so.
Right. But anyway, so digitally, it'll be out March 22nd.
Oh, not long.
When you can, right, like 2 weeks. And you can go ahead and rent it on, you know, the Amazons or the Google Places or iTunes or whatever. And April 12th, it'll be out on physical disc.
Huh.
So 22nd, cool. And then another, like, 3 weeks, and it'll be out.
Well, I won't give you my opinion on it, but I will tell you this. I was in a cab the other day, and the cab driver told me that some people he picked up from the movie theater had seen No Way Home, and they didn't like it that much. So take that for what it's worth.
I will.
So now you can't be disappointed because you're like, well, Aiden did warn me that three people in a cab didn't think much of it.
Yeah. No, I'm glad to know.
Although I've seen it and I quite enjoyed it. There's lots to enjoy. There are some problems with it, but there's plenty to like. And when you finally watch it, we can talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, here is my honest to God, like, ever since, I mean, even though, like I said, I've had the whole thing spoiled in terms of, like, plot, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because that has nothing to, you know what I mean? Like, telling someone the plot for a movie is like telling them, like, just the color gradient. It's not the movie.
Exactly.
But that all said, like, I have the same expectation for this movie I had when it was first announced. Which is, so far I felt the other two were fun and entertaining and a decent time. And I occasionally rewatch bits of them, but very rarely do I rewatch the whole.
Yeah, I don't.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever gone back and sat, like, I've never felt the urge to sit down and experience Spider-Man Homecoming. And especially not Far From Home, which actually I found... I thought the experience was not the best for that.
I have watched them both all the way through more than once.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, there are big chunks that are just like, okay, they're a movie. You know, not that they're bad, it's just I don't need to see them again.
Fair enough.
So I assume this will be the same thing. In the first time through, it'll be a hell of a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will occasionally go back and be like, I want to rewatch this, and watch it for like a little bit, and then be like, I'm just going to go ahead to like these like six scenes and stop.
Yeah, I think that.
And that's fine. That's money's worth right there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So speaking of money's worth.
Money's worth.
Money's worth rhymes with penny's worth.
Oh, wait. I think I see what you're doing here. Are you going to ask me if I got my penny's worth out of the Batman?
I was going to, yes.
It was $12 Canadian, which I guess is, you know.
I really should ask you that, like, your loonies worth, I suppose. Yeah, but exactly. That doesn't fucking work, does it?
No, that does not.
Because he's not Alfred Looney's worth. Oh God, there should be Canadian Batman. I need to tweet this.
Can you tweet at the creator of Letterkenny so they can create like a really dumbass Canadian Batman?
Yes. Anyway. So, I understand you saw yourself some Batman.
I did see myself some Batman. I saw myself some the Batman.
Yeah.
No more, no less. Yes. Now, I think a lot of people really loved this movie, as you can probably tell from the internet. I wasn't as in the bag for it when I watched it as some people. Although it's... In reflection, I think it's grown, but I think the problem with the film for me isn't the film. It's more me.
Yeah,
like this is a, you know, Robert Pattinson is very good. Plays like, you know, this grim journaling, you know, Batman who says things like, "People think I'm in the shadows. I am the shadows." Like, if you like that kind of Batman film. Then you are going to love the Batman.
And that's the thing, right? Like, they are very much doing, you know, it's noir, grim Batman. It's every Batman movie we've had.
But kind of more since, so.
Sure. And I was going to say it's every Batman we've had, but it's actually not true, because, like, the Nolan stuff is where it started.
Yeah. Yeah, although, I mean, this is like a, I mean, this does make, like, the Nolan Batman films look like, you know, nice and sort of like light by comparison. Not light in ideas, but sort of in tone. This is a very dark, very noir-y Batman.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to talk about this is then to Nolan what Nolan was to, like the Keaton stuff.
Yeah, that's probably I would say.
Okay, I I'm sure it might be a great movie, and I'll probably eventually watch it in about like 45 days when it hits HBO Max for free.
I mean, it's a good film to see on like a giant screen, as all these films are. But yeah, if you can, you can wait 45 days for it and enjoy it in the comfort of your own home. From a technical, like from a craft point of view, it's very well done. I mean, this is a movie that is 3 hours long, like not 2 hours and 40 minutes plus credits. Like this is like 3 hours of watching movie. And it doesn't feel like 3 hours. Like it really, like only in a couple of scenes does it start to feel its length a little bit. But by and large, it's just the pacing and control over the film is done well enough so that you barely notice when, as it was the time go by. There is a scene towards the end that sort of kind of winks at the larger world of the Batman, which I don't know. I didn't think that was very interesting. But it's the kind of thing that makes fans go, "Oh, did you catch that? Did you catch that Easter egg?" And it's like, yeah, you would have to literally not be in the theater not to catch that Easter egg when it shows up.
I'm gonna see it, and in like I said, about 45 days. And again, I'm sure I'll enjoy it.
Oh yeah,
but I think that for me, my problem is that, like I know the Batman movie that I want, and if we keep doing the same Batman movie, I'm like, let's see if we can make him even darker. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
And they're never gonna make the one I want.
What is it? What is the Batman that you want?
You seen the Brave and the Bold cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
Do that live action, you fucking cowards. I want fun. Like, I don't want, like, my parents are dead and I am just vengeance. I want my parents are dead and I don't want any kid to ever have to go through that. So I am justice. I want, like, crazy, fun, like, Silver Age goddamn Batman on the screen. Done well. Not done as camp, but just done so that, like, the audience knows it's silly, but internally they take it deadly serious.
Yeah.
Like Brave and the Bold. Like, I don't see why we can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will tell you this. I mean, despite the darkness of the Batman, despite the I'm vengeance ness of it all, it's kind of the arc, and it's underplayed, but it's definitely there. Well, it's not. It's at the end. It's not underplayed at all. It becomes the whole point of the movie. It is basically this is year two Batman, and it's his realization over the course of the movie that he's been doing it wrong, that going out every night and creating, instilling fear in criminals so they'll behave is not the approach. It's simply perpetuating the problem.
Sure.
So at the end, he decides to not do that, to be a better Batman. I don't know what would happen in subsequent Batman films in the Matt Reeves timeline, but
it's good. Who knows?
They put Colin Farrell in a bunch of prosthetics. Looks really good. Although I never know why they couldn't just get an actor who looked like that in the first place. But well, I do know why. It's because they can say, "Look, Colin Farrell's in prosthetics."
Right. Yeah. No. They. Yeah. Yeah. Sadly, yes.
And people, everybody has their, I think, their preference for performances. But the weak spot for me was actually Jeffrey Wright's Jim Gordon.
That I did not expect to hear.
And I'm not sure if it's his fault. I think they're trying to do things in scenes that I don't know where he starts to come off as sort of a little bit a little degree of like self-parody. And in fact, it's even seems to be called at one point when they're trying to interrogate the Penguin, but they have no clue what they're actually interrogating him about, and they're figuring out that they're wrong, and you know, Penguin's just laughing at them and just saying, "Oh yeah, you two, world's greatest detectives, look at yous." Anyway, so
they're doing a Colin Farrell like in a fat suit fucking spin-off show, apparently.
Apparently so. But it was basically playing like Robert De Niro, though, which is
just get Robert De Niro.
Yeah, why not? And the other performance that I'm on the fence about definitely is Paul Dano as the Riddler, because he's so over the top, and you're either going to buy that or you're not going to buy it.
Look, I have always had a problem with Paul Dano simply because his parents did not name him Bookum, and I feel that everything since then in his life has been downhill.
You know, I think you're right.
And I think that we as a community need to acknowledge this.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, how much cooler would he be if his name was Bookum Dano?
It's infinitely
right?
cooler, obviously.
I'd watch whatever the fuck he was in if he was like Bookum Dano. Like, oh, yeah, I watch that guy, yeah.
I would unironically.
But no, it's that thing where it's like we keep pushing Batman to... like the Netflix shows, frankly, right? Mm-hmm. This is more adult. And by more adult, they don't mean more adult. They mean let's badly take ourselves seriously and call that adult. And that's the thing, is that I'm not saying like the Schumacher Batman movies are good. They're not. They are high camp, you know, they're kind of wretched and they're kind of amazing at the same time, right? Yeah.
They're a bit much, but I actually kind of enjoy Batman Forever, and even Batman and Robin in its pure silliness had its moments.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, again, I'm not saying they're good. I'm not like one of the people who's just like, yes, this is worth it. No, of course not. But like the Burton films, and I don't really like the second Burton film, honestly. Like, I like Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, but the rest of that movie is really not well done.
You know, I don't even remember, but I remember Danny DeVito eating fish, and
yeah, sure.
And I remember Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman because she seemed to have a character, which was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty much all that I.
Right, and like the penguins that had like bombs strapped to their chests and shit.
Jesus, that yes, I remember that. That's
but again, like the original like Batman, I wasn't a fan when I was a kid. Really, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. But I've come around to it since, in that it's at least trying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like just let's make it more like it was like, what if Batman but seven? And what if this, but you know, Batman but darker? And that's, so on and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. Yeah, it is. It is that. There is like the. There's a lot of like, you know, you've seen the interviews and this and whatnot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of David Fincher in it. I mean, there's a lot of like sort of basic like horror thriller baked into it, and I want to say I think Matt Reeves more often than not does a really good job.
Yes.
But yeah, I would actually be very pleased, and I think that's the thing when I was watching this, and I was thinking of the edgy adult tone, it actually kind of but stuck in the PG-13 rating. I actually did think of the Netflix stuff. I was like, yeah, a little similar. Like, better like, overall, but a little similar.
It's not brave or new or special, honestly, to go, well, we're going to do Batman but dark. It really isn't. Like, that's the default expected boring move.
Yeah.
That's, and nothing against Matt Reeves. I think he has a lot of fun. I think he's a great director. But that's what he did. He took the cheap and boring route for it because people are afraid to go the other direction.
Yeah, I think so.
It's just frustrating to me because there's so much good material out there. You know, it's like all the people who are like, oh, well, like Superman has to be dark for the Snyder stuff because we have to make him relatable and all this. And like the Chris Reeve stuff doesn't fly these days. It's like, and yet Superman and Lois is getting really great ratings.
Yeah.
So maybe you could actually still do the stuff if you just do it well.
Whoa, that's a radical idea.
Like maybe we're allowed to have, and I, again, like this is the thing that I think Chris Evans, and I'm going to go ahead and say, like, you know, the Evans Downey Jr. and and the Hemsworth thing. Honestly, the thing that like they did that Johansson did with Black Widow, that Ruffalo did with Thor when he with Hulk when he got into it.
Mm-hmm.
They went for sincerity.
Yeah.
It could be jokey.
Yeah.
It could be serious.
Yep.
But they were always sincere about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you could feel like Chris Evans was taking Captain America very seriously. And it comes across. You know, this is what Reeves did, right? Chris Reeves did. You take it seriously. But you don't have to shit. Like sitting like a pile of like miasma and shit, and call an adult, and think you're fucking fooling anyone. Ugh.
But there's a scene where he beats people up.
I know, right? You're just like, yeah. So there's a scene. Oh, I love it. Yeah, hit me.
No, I was gonna say there's a scene where there's some criminals and he beats on them. And,
right. Yeah.
And he says, "I'm vengeance." And then later on, other criminals show up and somebody says to the criminal, "Who are you?" And this is a spoiler. The criminal says, "I'm vengeance."
Wow.
And then Batman knows. Batman realizes at that point he's done wrong.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
It's not like they make.
Can I just guess that the guy who says "I'm vengeance" the second time is the guy they're planning to eventually play the Joker?
No, actually, the Batman movie has outsmarted you, sir. No, it's actually kind of a rando sort of like follower of the Riddler.
Okay, cool. That's good. You see why I was like, oh no.
Yeah. So you know about the cameo, I guess, then?
Is that what we're calling it? I figured that they were doing it. I actually hadn't heard anything. It's a fucking Batman movie. Of course they're going to give it and do it.
Yep, that's how they do it. Although, Reeves says that doesn't mean that the next movie or whatever will have the Joker as the main villain. He just wanted to have the world a little bit larger and show that it was, you know, the world of Batman.
Sure,
and Gotham.
Sure.
So, yeah. Which would be nice, because we don't need, like, another movie where the Joker is the main. So.
Right, and I saw they're talking about doing, like, Court of Owls, maybe if they do, like, a third one.
Yeah, which would be interesting. Like, I mean, I'm going to watch this stuff.
Like I said, I'll watch it for free. I don't think if there was a theater, and I felt safe going and stuff, I'd just, like, go to see movies, so I'd probably go see it. Yeah. But I don't think I'm ever going to give a shit again.
Fair enough.
About, like, just Dark Batman. I'm sorry, it's just, like, it didn't interest me when I was a kid. It doesn't interest me now.
This might change your mind a bit. Batman, aka Bruce Wayne, his parents are dead, and he's very upset.
Okay.
Like in this movie, So.
Also, I do know that his parents would have been shot like around 2001, and I have seen that, like, people are just like, okay, like, were they watching Shrek? My pick is Donnie Darko. Because I can see, like, Bruce coming out Donnie Darko, just like his parents get shot, and he's like, well, okay, I got this. Like, that made sense to me.
He's like, are we in the movie now?
Yeah. Oh, God.
But yes, that is the Batman.
So I'm going to give you a pick of the week that has nothing to do with anything, but it's going to tie back into Batman in a way.
Oh, interesting.
The first trade of Tom Taylor's Nightwing run is out.
Mm-hmm.
The second trade, which is part of a crossover, but you don't need the other parts of the crossover, honestly. Like, they made it work, so it's not actually called Volume 2, is in solicit, so it'll be out in, like, 2 or 3 months. Tom Taylor's Nightwing is the Nightwing book everyone has always wanted.
Mm.
Like, I said to somebody who's like, I am a diehard Nightwing fan, and there are a lot of Nightwing solo books I'm not quite into, because it's really hard to do as a solo character.
Mm-hmm.
And Taylor, it is one of the best comics I've seen in years.
Oh, Hey, speaking of Nightwing. There you
go. Go read that.
Speaking of Nightwing, very briefly, and the Batman movie, at one point, Catwoman, Zoe Kravitz, who's really good, by the way.
Sure.
She does a great Catwoman. Or Selina Kyle. Mentions maybe going to Bloodhaven, which prompted this spate of like delightful like articles in mainstream media publications, all of which were variations on what the fuck is Bloodhaven.
Nice.
So
yeah, I did actually hear one weird kind of spoilery thing, that there is at least a moment where the kid who plays Tim Drake on Titans is in the Batman movie.
Yeah, it's I'm like, was he
playing Tim Drake? Because I could see them just reusing it, but also that's not in continuity for shit.
I don't know how they did that.
Well, I mean,
but I saw him and I'm like, is that the Tim Drake guy from Titans? Yeah.
I'm willing to bet you that because of when they were filming all this shit, it was completely accidental casting on both parts.
Oh yeah.
And that's delightful.
I agree.
But yeah, so go read the fucking Nightwing comic though, because
yeah,
you have a you have another show where you actually talk about comics, which always amuses me that it's never this one, because
I know that's always kind of funny.
But yeah, you should talk about your you should make them read some Nightwing.
I agree. I mean, I know that my co-hosts there are fans of Nightwing as well, so it will not take too much to convince them.
Yeah, like I said, the first volume was out. It is goddamn delightful. The art is fucking stunning. I do think that the guy doing the art is doing like an arc on and arc off. The second volume, which is called Fear State, because it's part of a whole big crossover called Fear State, had a different artist. So I won because the Bruno, what is Bruno's last name? Ronaldo? Let me look up what is Bruno's last name. Redondo, yeah. Bruno Redondo is he goes so hard. It is almost impossible to explain how hard this man goes on every page.
Nice.
Like, just, it's one of those things of, like, you are seeing, you know, like, when you see someone in any field, right? And they hit that point where you're like, oh, this is going to be career defining.
Oh, nice.
Like, they've just hit a level where, like, they just started that, like, serious climb to being one of the greats if they want it.
Mm-hmm.
That's this Nightwing run, artistically.
Oh, nice. I am excited. I'm looking forward to this.
And we can kind of, we're, you know, coming to close, but we can toss in a little bit of a disco talk if you'd like.
Yes. Let's talk.
Because you're caught up now, right?
I'm all caught up. Yes, I've.
Okay.
I am. They're through the galactic barrier. They found some funky dust that they hope will give them the basis of a language to talk with the aliens that are screwing up the entire galaxy.
Which also tells you exactly how book becomes crucial, right?
Right.
Because they're not going to be using language. They're going to be using emotion. He's an empath.
Yes.
Bing bang boom. Okay. Like, let's just discuss, I think, the important thing about the episodes, besides all the other stuff, is, first of all, the return of poker to prominence in Star Trek is a thing. Because there were, like, three or four episodes of Next Gen, there was an episode of DS9, like,
yep.
Poker is a thing in Star Trek, and I kind of love that.
Yeah.
But also, the whole fighting scam with Owu was that... killed me, because like she goes to the first fight and she like just gets her ass kicked, and I'm like, she's a like 20 like 23rd century, right? Like, trained Starfleet officer. There is no way she goes down that quick. And then she does it a second time and it happens again. I'm like, wait. She's like, I can do it again. I'm like, you fucking bastards.
It's, yeah, as I was watching, I'm like, okay, is she fighting through her insecurity about this, or are they just straight up hustling these people?
Yeah, it was just like, I caught it as like the straight hustle when, again, like after the second beating, she's like, let's do it again, and you're like, okay. And then when she finally just explodes with that, like, no, train Starfleet, man, train fucking Starfleet.
Just, yeah. Yeah, I like that bit. And she didn't do like a fancy move to like lay down the beat. She just like up and like just punched the guy hard in the stomach and then began to just beat him until
she just dropped. Like professionally dismantled him.
Yeah.
Which is what that would be like, right? And then this most recent episode, I thought had some great Detmer in it.
Yes.
I love me some Detmer.
I've noticed the last few episodes have actually done more with Oshkin and Detmer than previous stuff, which is good. I was very pleased. And not like Detmer's special episode or Oshikun's special episode.
Right.
But, you know, just as part of the crew interacting with Michael and, you know, and so on. I thought that was the way to go.
Yeah, no, I really like that. I also really like our language expert.
Oh, yeah.
Being told, like, you need to be a little fucking nicer.
Yeah, that was pretty
such
good.
A great character actor, too. Like, he's all over the place, and he's always fun.
Yeah, and I can't remember his name, but yeah, he is in, I think he's actually, he might be Canadian. Because he's in one of those shows. Yeah.
Also, I've really grown to like, and they did this, like, last season with the Admiral. And, like, this season with the new president, I really am growing to like her.
But they take
their time kind of teasing it out and showing it to you from Michael's point of view.
Yeah, I mean, she still sort of pokes and questions a bit. Because she's got...
That's her job,
yeah. She's gone from being like an obstacle to an ally who can... But not just, you know, an open door to walk through. So like a bit of a foil as well.
Right, and then again, like the Admiral, right? And I kind of love that, like we had the people who... This is... It's weird to me, because like, you know, Roddenberry had this whole thing of like, you can't have conflict among the crew.
Right.
And like, I think like early on in Discovery, I was worried that they had gone too far in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that all makes sense about halfway through season one. But I love the space we've hit where it's like, we can have conflict between the crew, but most of it is just... They are very good at what they do, and it is, you know, professional conflict, but they all respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not villains. They just all have different goals that they need to reach for what they are doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes those goals don't quite line up perfectly, and you end up with, well, how do we deal with this? But they're professionals, so they figure it out. Like, this is what I want out of Star Trek.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. It turns out, if you want like a different take on Star Trek, of course, Star Trek Picard has fired up again for its second season.
Yeah, I have not tried it.
I've seen about a third of the episode. It's fine.
Like, okay.
Actually, I got around to finishing the last episode of season one, because the couple of episodes previous had irritated me to the point that I didn't even want to bother finishing. I kind of checked out, but I thought I would just get it out of the way. And it actually is a much better finale than I thought it would be.
Okay.
So, yeah. Lessons are learned. Picard's a robot now, you know.
Yeah.
And we know this. I mean, we knew this anyway because
that was last season. Yeah,
Discovery. Yeah, yeah. You know, he dies at the end, and then they robotize him. So,
but yeah, this Discovery is, and you know, Picard is fine for people who like Picard. I don't.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But man, Disco is just fucking Star Trek, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it feels. It feels like a proper update to like how you sort of make Star Trek work for 2021, 2022. Because you can't just redo. I mean, you could redo The Next Generation, but that's the Orville. So
right, and you could redo the original series, but that's Strange Adventures.
So there you go. Oh man, really.
Which is starting May.
We
have to get through Picard now.
Yeah. I'm impatient for Strange Adventures.
It looks
all kind of awesome.
You know, I want to try, and I haven't. And you know, like Lower Decks, seriously, and the other one.
Oh, the one with Janeway hologram or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, which apparently is not bad. I mean, it's
right. I've heard it's it's a kid show, but I'm curious.
Yeah, me too. I was gonna say about Lower Decks. It was not about Lower Decks. Oh, hopefully the Galactic Aliens. That we meet will be the only 10C. Be able to the 10C, which always makes me think of the band 10CC. I just
fair.
Yeah, and I thought, what are we gonna get? Godly and Cream, sort of like in like a hyper feel. No, I just want them to like only communicate in Trajan Pro subtitles.
You know that they probably will. So, brace for that fuckery. God, now that they're in the future, can't they get a? They can use Futura, right? That's how that works.
Exactly. That's what it's meant for.
But yeah, no, I've just been continually just pleased by Discovery, right? Like every week, especially this season, every episode has just been rock solid. And it's a cast and a crew that know exactly what show they're making. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's funny, and I have sort of like residual Star Trek resistance when I watch it. Like I keep on sort of expecting them to do one thing and make the episode less interesting, but then they manage to swerve and not do the thing that I'm kind of expecting, and it just feels really refreshing to see it unfold every week. I'm not exactly sure what it is I think they're going to do, but I'm always like, oh, okay, they're hallucinating on a planet. But you know, then they develop it. And maybe they sort of make a lot of leaps about this the 10C based on some like emotional flashes, but whatever.
Yeah, but it worked.
It worked, exactly. You know, it's
like, was it kind of like simplified a little bit and cheesy? Sure.
Sure. But you know, it's still but the sort of the heart, but the heart is in the right place with that. So
right.
And they're smart people. These are smart people we're watching on screen, so.
Exactly. Anyway, we're coming up against the hour mark. Chances are we won't have anything next week because time change, although I guess we could always do another day, not Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll work it out.
We'll figure it out, but either way, I don't know, we'll play some music?
Yes.
Woo, music.
Boo.
Thank you.